Okay, so this question's actually pretty difficult as far as acid-base ones go because of the quantitative nature of it. So before I dive into all the numbers and the answer choices, I'm going to give a very, very brief summary of what to expect qualitatively when we discuss acid-base disturbance with aspirin, okay? So acutely, in the first 20 minutes or so, if someone consumes a bottle of aspirin, we expect a respiratory alkalosis, okay? An isolated respiratory alkalosis where we have a down arrow for PCO2, an up arrow for pH, and no change for bicarbonate, okay? Too soon for things to change. It'll require about 24 hours to really see the bicarb begin to move, okay? After about 20 minutes, resources will differ as far as the exact time frame the transition occurs, but after about 20 minutes, the aspirin itself, which is acidic, salicylic acid, will begin to lower the bicarb in the serum. Okay? We get a mixed metabolic acidosis, respiratory alkalosis. So after about 20 minutes, our bicarbonate will fall. Down arrow for bicarbonate, that's our metabolic acidosis. We still have a respiratory alkalosis. Aspirin's directly upregulating the respiratory centers in the brain. So we have a down arrow for PCO2. And then we expect usually a down arrow for pH because the metabolic acidosis will win over the respiratory alkalosis. Okay. So I say pH is usually down because there can rarely be instances in which pH can be in the normal range in when you're in transition. But the point is, acutely with aspirin toxicity, we've got up arrow for pH, no change bicarbonate, down arrow CO2. Then, after about 20 minutes, we're going to have the bicarb fall. PCO2 is still low, and our pH usually low. Okay, so that qualitatively is what we expect for the acid-base disturbance stuff with aspirin. Now, aspirin salicylate toxicity is the S in mud piles, the mnemonic for high anion gap metabolic acidoses. So mud piles being methanol, uremia, which is renal failure, D is DKA, P is fenformin, some weird drug you don't need to know. I is iron tablets or isoniazid, L lactic acidosis, E ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze, and S salicylates aspirin. So we expect a high anion gap. Now, anion gap normally is 8 to 12. So I specify the high anion gap is 13 or greater because I have seen one question on one of the 2CK NBMEs where the anion gap was exactly 12 and it was considered normal, not high. So when we say greater than 12, I just really want to be explicit that high anion gap means 13 or greater, okay? 12 is considered normal. We calculate anion gap by adding bicarbonate and chloride, taking that number, and then subtracting it from sodium, okay? So if that's 13 or greater, that's a high anion gap, and that's what we expect for salicylate toxicity, okay? So looking at our answer choices here, this is where things get annoying, right? Let's just look at our answer choices. Choice A. We can see the pH is low. We say, okay, that is what we expect. After 2 weeks, if that's the time frame we're dealing with when we're discussing aspirin here, that's clearly not acute. So we do expect a decreased pH. And then we look at the bicarbonate and chloride, and when we add them together, we're going to get 116. We take that number, subtract it from sodium, which is 126. And we're going to get 10. That's not elevated, right? That anion gap is not elevated. So we know right away that that answer choice is wrong because despite having a metabolic acidosis, the low pH and the low bicarb, which is what we expect, the anion gap's not high enough. So we can eliminate it. In addition, sodium's low. And that's not something we typically expect with aspirin toxicity. Students say, what the fuck? Like, I haven't learned about sodium or potassium specifically with aspirin, we expect them to be normal, okay? So sodium should be 135 to 145 milliequivalents per liter, and potassium 3.5 to 5 milliequivalents per liter. So we expect them to both be normal. And when looking at this type of question, we approach it with flexibility, and an open mind, but the point is we can eliminate A because our anion gap's not elevated. Then we look at B, and once again, our pH is low, our bicarb's low. That is what we expect. So far, so good. And then we take bicarb, which is 20, and chloride, 102. We add them together, we get 122, subtract from sodium, 132, and we get 10. Same exact situation, our anion gap's not elevated, so we can eliminate this one. In addition, our sodium's low and our potassium's high. That's not necessarily what we expect. So everything about this answer choice, not really that good. So then we move on to choice C. Our pH is low at 7.33, our bicarb's low at 18, so far so good, that's what we expect. We add the bicarb to the chloride, so 18 and 105, we get 123, subtract that from the sodium, which is 136, and we get 11. Same exact deal, our anion gap's not elevated, it's only 11. And despite the fact that everything else is pretty decent, like our sodium's in the normal range, our potassium's in the normal range, chloride should be 95 to 105, just making note of that. But when we're dealing with anion gap, we don't really care as far as the exact values when it comes to thinking about normal range for chloride. So we can eliminate this answer choice, choice C, because our anion gap's only 11. Then we move on to choice D. We can see our pH is low, our bicarb's low, that's what we expect. And then we calculate anion gap. We've got bicarb 20, chloride 104. So that gives us 124, subtract from sodium, which is 142. And we're gonna get 118, okay? So that's elevated, great. So we have, for choice D, we see a metabolic acidosis, and we can see that we have an elevated anion gap, great. We don't know CO2 for this question, doesn't matter, but everything checks out, and our sodium's in the normal range, our potassium's in the normal range. And then we look at choice E, and we can see an alkalosis, 7.46, not what we expect after 2 weeks, okay? And our bicarb's elevated, also not what we expect. So even if this were acute, we would not have an elevated bicarb. Normal bicarb's 22 to 28, so we would not have an elevated bicarb. It would be acutely, as we discussed before, a decreased pCO2 causing the elevated pH. Bicarb would be unchanged. So that's it for this question, okay? A bit of a lengthy audio here. It's probably one of the longer audios if you were able to make it through, which is just taking home that for aspirin toxicity, we're going to have a high anion gap, metabolic acidosis, okay? That's going to be mixed in with our respiratory alkalosis. So we would expect a decreased pH, a decreased bicarbonate. And then when we add the bicarb and the chloride and subtract it from the sodium, that number should be 13 or greater. And we expect our sodium and our potassium to be in the normal range. Okay, that's it.